Good morning. I call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Today is April 20th, 2021. Please silence all cell phones. Thanks to Allison and Carson for being here this morning. Present today are Senators Olson, Senators Hoffman, Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Wilikowski, Senator Wilson, and Senator Von Himhoff is working remote today. Today's agenda, SB 101, Advisory Commission on Federal Management Areas, SB 25, State Government Finances Website, SB 101, Advisory Commission on Federal Management Areas. This is the first hearing of this bill today. My intention is to hear an introduction, public testimony, set an amendment deadline, and set this bill aside today. The bill introduction today will be by Betty Tangeman, staff to Senator Rivak. Senator Rivak is in the other Finance Committee at the end of the hall introducing another bill, and will hopefully be along forthcoming, but Ms. Tangeman, the floor is yours, and put yourself on the record and give us an introduction of the bill and tell us what you got.
Good morning, Chairman Bishop and members of the Senate Finance Committee. My name is Betty Tangeman. I work for Senator Josh Rivak. My apologies, he sends his apologies. He's not able to be here at the moment. He's in the other body presenting the bill. SB 101 is an important affirmation by the Alaska Legislature of the compelling need to maintain the vital efforts of the Citizens Advisory Commission on Federal Management Areas in Alaska, known as CACFA. This bill extends the commission sunset date from June 30th, 2021 to June 30th, 2029, so for 8 years. CACFA was first established in 1981, shortly after Congress passed comprehensive legislation governing all federal public lands in the state, the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, you all know as ANILCA. Adding in the Alaska Statehood Act and Alaska Native Settlement Claims Settlement Act, most Alaskans and most of Alaska are regulated under an extremely unique and complex legislative web. CACFA's mission is helping Alaskans navigate these complex rules and regulations and work with federal agencies to ensure congressional intent is implemented with respect to their interests. As nationwide directives frequently ignore the Alaska context and balance requirements in ANILCA, CACFA serves as a vigilant and knowledgeable resource for Alaskans to defend the rights and protections they were promised as stakeholders. As institutional memory and expertise is lost, and as agency decisions that revise our history and append our reasonable expectations are deferred to by the courts, federal managers have little incentive to uphold Congress's promises to Alaskans. The Sturgeon v. Frost U.S. Supreme Court case is an example of a private citizen's $1.5 million battle against federal laws being enforced on state land. More importantly, President Biden issued an executive order directing that at least 30% of our lands and waters be placed in permanent protection status by 2030, known as the 30 by 30 initiative, placed a moratorium on new oil and gas leases, and halted leasing in ANWR's 1002 area. These examples emphasize the need for vigilance to fight against the erosion of ANILCA protections by uninformed federal managers and politicians. Over the 62 years since statehood and just over 40 years since ANILCA's passage, the federal government has consistently failed to keep its promises to honor the Alaska way of life. Now is not the time to allow CACFA to sunset. Please allow CACFA to continue and bypassing this legislation. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any questions from committee members before Ms. Curtis comes to before the committee? Seeing none, Ms. Curtis, would you please come forward and thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Chris Curtis. I'm your state legislative auditor. So the Division of Legislative Audit did conduct a sunset audit of the Citizens Advisory Commission on Federal Areas, which we refer to as CACFA. It's dated April of 2020. I believe you all have a copy of it in your meeting packets. The purpose of the sunset audit is to determine whether a border commission is serving the public's interest and whether it should be extended. So this commission was active from 1981 until 1999, at which point its funding was eliminated. CACFA was reestablished in 2007 and operated from FY08 through FY17, at which point its funding was again eliminated. Federal management of land in Alaska has been widely criticized. Concerns with federal overreach and unfulfilled commitments led to the reestablishment of CACFA. The commission was reestablished to advocate on behalf of Alaska citizens on issues related to federal management of land in Alaska. Report conclusions begin on page 7, and I want to point out that the prior sunset audit is dated February of 2015, so this sunset audit reviews from February 2015 through June of 2017. The audit found that beginning in FY17, funding for CACFA has not been a priority. While not a consistent priority for the governor or the legislature, both entities have funded the commission at different times. The legislature approved funding for the commission in FY17, and the governor vetoed the appropriation. Funding for the commission in 18 and 19 was not included in the governor's request, nor was it included in the final operating bills. The legislature approved funding in FY20, but the governor again vetoed the appropriation. Governor's amended FY21 budget did include funding for the commission, but it was not part of the final operating bill. Overall, the audit concluded that from the date of our prior sunset through June of 2017, this commission operated effectively and did not significantly duplicate the activities of other entities. The audit also concluded that there is a continuing public need for this commission, and we are recommending an 8-year extension. We found that while CACFA was active, the executive director monitored the Federal Register for new information related to CACFA's mission, provided comments on proposed changes, and brought relevant information to the commission's attention. If determined necessary, CACFA sent a comment letter to the applicable federal agency, and comment letters formally summarized CACFA's concerns with proposed management plans and changes to regulations and laws. The commission sent 14 comment letters and testified 4 times from February 2015 through August of 2016. So that's a very active commission. Letters and testimony were directed to federal agencies and congressional subcommittees. Additionally, CACFA invited federal agencies to present information and discuss federal plans and policies via panel discussions to help facilitate communication between the public, state, and federal agencies. Meetings generally lasted from 1 to 2 days and included multiple presentations from individuals representing federal agencies such as U.S. National Park Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Bureau of Land Management, and state agencies such as Department of Natural Resources and Department of Fish and Game. Per the CACFA Executive Director, the director and staff assisted between 15 and 20 Alaskan citizens at a time with issues related to federal land management by helping write complaints and requests for information, and by guiding citizens to the appropriate agencies. In addition, staff accompanied citizens to permit and informational meetings to provide support and expertise. The report makes no recommendations. Responses to the audit begin on page 21, and the Department of Natural Resources Commissioner concurs with the recommended 8-year extension.
Thank you. Questions from committee members? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Curtis, you talked about the effectiveness of what the commission did while they were being funded in the meetings that they had. It sounds like they're very effective. Can you give me an example of one of the things that they did that was that they did to go ahead and affect federal overreach? Because federal overreach is a very significant thing in Alaska, and so we don't want that to happen. But give me an example of one thing your audit found that the commission did that would make it so that they blunted the federal overreach.
Senator Olson, through the chair. One thing that impressed me the most about this commission was how they advocated on behalf of citizens.
Mm-hmm.
The complexity of ANILCA and ANSCA, the Federal Land Act, the average citizen is going to be very poor positioned to wade through all of that law and figure out how to protect their rights. And this agency was very unique in which they were advocating behalf of Alaska citizens. And so I was extremely impressed with just how hands-on they were with your average person that needed help.
Senator Olson, we do have Kyle Mosel with DNR Office of Project management and permitting too. If you have any other questions, you'd want to direct to him, sir.
Sure.
Thank you. Would you like to hear from him?
No. My next question, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Next question.
As you look at the makeup of the board, it seems like there seems to be a lack of ANCSA personnel on that board. You think that would have changed anything as far as Native Land goes if they did have more people from the Native corporations involved with that?
Through the chair, we did not really focus on the except noting that it was composed of I think six individuals appointed by the governor, three from each body of the legislature, including one member of each legislative commission, or a senator and a representative on each of the board. We didn't get into the makeup of the board at all.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Curtis. No further questions for Ms. Curtis. We're going to go to public testimony now. I'll open public testimony. Public testimony is open. Charles McKee from Anchorage, if you'd put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Yeah, my name is Charles McKee, but don't forget that I'm a holder due course to my name. I'm looking at the registration sent to me from Julie Anderson, Commissioner, certificate of name, a business name registration. That number is pound 10-16-04-33. And so that I have the business license and the corporate registration. So I'm a holder in due course. I'm curious about this 101, and I'd like to give a shout out to Senator Bert Stedman. He's a person that resides in a physical form once in a while in Sitka, as I understand it, his home base. And what I'd like to point out that on this bill is there's an opportunity to pass it, don't just set it aside, but send it back to the current administration in Washington, D.C., because they're having problems financing his interest in the ability to pay for infrastructure. And they're just not having a success in that endeavor where they can come up with the money. But I'd like to point out my First Amendment rights to my spiritual and religious sincere beliefs and practices. And it was the agent working for the state, Deborah Jean Blasford, that gave me that Sestakay Trust information that I presented to Bert Stedman 2 years ago when I used that to kill the fish tax bill that the governor had submitted. So that got me in big trouble, but I didn't know that she was an agent for the court, and her boy had got arrested and was charged with felony crime on drugs in Seward, and she was also looking for leniency for her son, and she was also part of the Department of Corrections personnel. She drove up from Seward and met with me, and I had no idea who she was in March of 2019.
Mr. McKee, your 2 minutes is up. Can you tell us whether you support or oppose the bill?
Well, that's what I said, is I support the bill. I have an idea for the funding, because I don't see no fiscal note on this, and I don't see no the violation of due process is what we've been bellyaching about. And so how is the current administration in the crazy town going to come up with the money if they don't do resource extraction?
All right. Well,
and I
thank
have
you.
An opportunity.
Thank you for your comments, sir, and send them into our office, the rest of your comments. We're going to go to the next testifier now. Michael Chambers in Anchorage. Michael Chambers?
Right, yes, this is Michael Chambers, and I represent myself. I'm in particular, I'm in support of SB 101, and in fact, I'm in support of funding of TAC. But although I know money is money, the commission was run on, I think, $285,000, which the bulk of it went to the intellectual property of the with regard to the lawyer in the case. I'm very much in support of it. If you have not read the ASLAG report, it's actually on the Department of Natural Resources site under CACPA. The ASLAG report was put together under the chairmanship of Mead Treadwell, and it's a 53-page report with regard to the violations of the federal government with regard to ANILCA. Since 1980, the federal government has violated ANILCA accords with the state of Alaska over 2,000 times. Our sovereign nature has been violated substantial times, and the Citizens Advisory Committee was commission that stood in support of recognizing these and bringing these to the public format. I think it's very important, especially these days, to understand and recognize that in the ANILCA report, there was a no more clause in there. And consistently throughout the administration, the current administration, we have now an assault again on our sovereign rights here in the state of Alaska with regard to our relationships, with regard to our sovereign rights to apply to our lands in the way that we govern our lands. And so I think that having ANILCA or having CACPA intact is essential to the state of Alaska if we're going to protect our sovereign rights. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll go to stay in Anchorage. Deanta Sabinski, Alaska Miners Association. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Deanta Skabinski. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Miners Association. We're the professional trade association for Alaska's mineral industry, mines large and small. We've got about 1,500 members represented in 8 statewide branches from Nome to Ketchikan. We appreciate the opportunity to testify today to support extending the sunset of CACFA. CACFA was initially created a year after the passage of ANILCA to give Alaskans a voice in navigating the complex land management issues in Alaska. Our state's largest landlord is unfortunately not the state at all. It's the Department of the Interior, with large swaths also owned and managed by the Department of Agriculture and the U.S. Forest Service. And one needs to look no further than the secretarial order signed last Friday by Interior Secretary Holland, which revokes the following previous secretarial orders on the National Petroleum Reserve Alaska, American Energy Independence, America First Offshore Energy Strategy, streamlining NEPA policy reviews. And for the sake of brevity, I'll stop there. And I know the introductory conversation included some great information about the 30 by 30 initiative, et cetera. So the orders and the other initiatives are not even the first or the second or the 10th order or policy decision we've seen since inauguration in January. They're massive land management actions that will require hours of reading and research to fully understand the implications to all Alaskans. And who can keep up with this? And for many years, CACFA has been the entity to keep up with this. We think it's more critical than ever that the commission be engaged in identifying impacts of the federal actions that are coming from this administration. And we think SB 101 is a great start to keep CACFA in statute and keep addressing these issues. We do have a letter on the record reflecting our support, and we hope you will vote to pass this bill out of your committee. Thanks again for this opportunity.
All right. Thank you for your testimony. Again, staying in Anchorage, Mr. Ray Krieg, I believe. If I've mispronounced that, you'll correct me on the record. 2 minutes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Ray Krieg. In 1978, when President Carter declared national monuments across Alaska as a precursor to ANILCA, I owned 2 properties, one in Mount McKinley, north near Mount McKinley National Park, another in the upper Yukon River area, now engulfed in Yukon Charlie. And it became pretty obvious that Alaskans had a huge problem with federal-state interface because of this action. I learned about CACFA being proposed. I testified and followed it at the beginnings of CACFA. Senator Betty Fahrenkamp from Fairbanks was advancing it. That must have been 40 years ago. And since then, I have watched CACFA be such an incredibly effective and economical action on the part of the state to help citizens deal with federal overreach. And so often when a new government activity is created, it gets taken over, becomes very fiscally inefficient, and does not deliver. This is absolutely not the case with CACFA. This is one of the most important things this legislature can do to authorize and extend CACFA's existence. And I certainly hope that there's a way to provide CACFA with the meager funding that they have accomplished so much with over the last 40 years. The governor is making navigability a priority. There should be money available to enable CACFA to function to support the governor's most important initiatives here. So, in summary, I'm strongly in favor of SB 101, and I'm so appreciative that the legislature is taking this up. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your testimony, sir. Now, I see no further people online to testify. Anyone in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. All right. Any further committee discussion before we set this bill aside? Amendment deadline is Friday, April 23rd at 12 p.m. Senator Steadman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a brief comment. You know, the last call-in was talking about the funding and encouraging the funding, and I don't think the funding requirement in the fiscal note of $178,000 is an insurmountable amount, and it will be money well spent.
Thank you for your comments, Co-Chair Steadman. Okay, we're going to set this bill aside. Next up is SB 25, State Government Finances. This is the first hearing of SB 25. Our intention is to hear and hold, take public testimony, set an amendment deadline. And with that being said, Senator Wilikowski, good morning. And if you want to go ahead and bring Mr. Graham to the table as well, he's welcome to come up. And please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Bill Wilikowski, State Senator representing East Anchorage, and Jay Barron with me is my staff, Nate Graham. I appreciate the opportunity to present this bill. This bill would create a publicly searchable online checkbook. The state currently has an Excel spreadsheet that you can download with information. However, it's extremely slow to download. It's very slow to operate. It's not intuitive. It doesn't provide very much information. It's not easily searchable. And all of these things have led to the state of Alaska receiving a grade of an F, from which is the lowest grade, from groups that monitor access to government information. In the supporting documents, you will see a report from the United States Public Interest Research Group, which rates states on financial transparency. This is a nonpartisan organization. They've given us an F in 5 out of the last 6 years. Alaska is currently ranked 49th out of the 50 states in terms of access that we provide to the public on our financial information. In fact, last spring, the Department of Administration just simply removed the entire checkbook of all information from the website. It's back up now after we had our last hearing in State Affairs, and the committee was not at all happy about the fact that it had been taken down. So Alaska is effectively the least transparent state in the United States when it comes to providing access to government financial information. This bill is easy to implement. The financial information is already collected by the state. It's just a matter of somebody spending some time putting a publicly searchable website together. In fact, when the website was taken down, I actually had my staff, Nate, who has zero computer programming experience, he actually, in about a day or two, with no money, actually built an online checkbook. It's not as sophisticated as we probably would like, but the point is, with the talented IT staff that we have here in the state, we think this is something that can pretty easily be done. This bill has widespread support. In fact, I don't know of any opposition to it. I've introduced an almost identical bill back in 2009. It passed the Senate, unfortunately didn't pass in the House in the final days of session. And one of the arguments against it was, well, we don't need it because the state started to do it once we proposed legislation to do it. Unfortunately, as we saw when the state just took all this information down in the last couple of years, we do need it, and we need to upgrade it. So just a couple reasons why we think this could actually save the state money in the long run. First off, it allows the public to see where the state money is going and to suggest efficiencies. We've heard from businesses and contractors who support this because it allows them to see how much other competitors are bidding for and getting contracts for, allowing them to offer more competitive contracts and bids to the state, saving the state money. The other thing is, right now, if somebody wants information from the state, they have to generally put in a Freedom of Information request, because the current online site is too cumbersome and doesn't provide the information that is needed. We've heard in other states where they've had these online checkbooks, more sophisticated online checkbooks, that it'll save state resources, because instead of people constantly putting in FOIA requests for information, they just simply go online and find the information themselves. And so you don't have state employees having, I mean, you'll certainly get FOIA requests, but we think it will drop the number of these requests that are issued and thus save the state money in terms of employees having to go out and find this information. So we think this is a common sense piece of legislation. It's long past due, and I would urge your support. Thank you.
All right. Any questions from the committee to the senator? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Mulikowski, what do other states do to try and make it so it's more user-friendly as they start to look up some of these financial records that the state is responsible for?
Mr. Chair, if I could have Nate talk a little bit about one of the probably the best state in the country is Ohio, and we've actually talked to Ohio and their department that does their checkbook, and talked about some of the things they do. And so Nate, could you talk a little bit about some of the other states out there and what they're doing?
Mr. Graham, you put yourself on the record, please, and then answer Senator Olson's question.
Yep. For the record, Nate Graham, staff to Senator Bill Wilikowski. Senator, through the chair, in Alaska right now, if you wanted to see the financial transactions of the state, you would have to download a Excel sheet that probably has around 100,000 or more lines of data, and then search individually from that downloaded Excel sheet what expenses you were looking for. A state like Ohio, it's more like a Google search. You type in the department, or you type in the company that an expense was paid to, and it automatically would pop up with all the expenses the state paid to, you know, company A over a given year, what departments paid. And so that's a system where you don't have to download a giant Excel sheet, and it's all completely online. And then you could extract that data of similar to like running an APOC report. You can extract all the data that's right in front of you without having to download hundreds of thousands of other pieces of data that you're not interested in.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wilson.
Yeah, yes, Mr. Chair. I have a question, but I think it's more for the Department of Administration, if someone's online that could answer this question.
Yes.
So,
Hans Sigmund, Director, Division of Finance, Department of Administration. Are you online, sir?
Yes, this is Hans Sigmund, Director of Division of Finance.
Senator Wilson's going to repeat his question, and if you could take a stab at that.
Yeah. Hans, my question is about the looking over the physical note here. You talk about you're going to have a new software upgrade to Iris, and the continued this is expected to conclude in 2022, and having the this automatically inputted into the reporting requirement. Would the new upgrade of Iris already include this searchability function that could be uploaded, or would this be an additional add? And just wondering, because it looks like the additional consulting and development costs are expected to be $400,000, but the note is at zero. So just trying to see what the cost of the reporting requirements, if this is already included and is already part of the additional fee, or this would be an additional ongoing maintenance fee.
Senator Wilson, through the chair, it is an additional fee, and if you don't mind, I'll take a bit of time to explain the difference. The Iris upgrade is expected to conclude in January of 2022, and that is being paid for with the capital appropriations that have already been provided the Division of Finance. This is a separate capability that requires a separate capital expenditure. The monies that are in the online checkbook bill are for the servers and data visualization software that we would be using to overcome some of the challenges that Senator Wilkowski presented in his testimony. For example, our current checkbook is not as visually appealing and easily searchable as states like Ohio. And so part of what we intend to do is utilize software licenses and servers through the Office of Information Technology. Those would be sort of ongoing operating expenses. And then there are development costs for creating the online checkbook itself. And, you know, the complexities of creating the online checkbook come from a number of different areas. When the Division of Finance is working with the data, we actually start at a level sort of below what the public is seeing. And at that level, we have to do things like, you know, mask data for confidentiality, aggregate those confidential payments. We'd have to make certain that we're not, there's no, you know, disclosure of anything that can't be disclosed. Those kind of things make for a certain amount of complexity, and I know that in our conversations with the state of Ohio, and I do appreciate the work that the senator and his staff have done and their cooperation with us in engaging these conversations with other states, because they brought a lot of things to light. But you know, state of Ohio, of course, they also, you know, had highlighted some of the challenges that they experienced in building their online checkbook so that things like child welfare payments and victim restitutions are not improperly disclosed. And so that's really kind of where the development costs lie, is in building all of that out. And so we would be using potentially additional resources from CGI to help in that development above and beyond the costs of the Iris upgrade.
Go ahead and follow up, then we're going to go do a sectional right after you're finished.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just as a follow-up, is the vendor in Ohio going to be the same vendor that we have in Alaska?
Through the chair, no, it's not.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mr. Graham, would you walk us through the sectional analysis, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. All right, so again, for the record, Nathan Graham, staff to Senator Bill Wilkowski. So this sectional, Section 1 names the act the Alaska Online Checkbook Act. Section 2 establishes legislative findings and intent. Subsection A establishes that the bill is intended to allow people to identify and discover state revenue and expenditures. Subsection B requires that this act be interpreted in favor of disclosure and transparency. Section C finds that state revenue and expenditures must be accounted for and easily accessible to the public in order to maintain a fair and open government. Subsection D adopts intent that the state should strive to create a user-friendly website that gives the public access to the state's financial information in a centralized location. Section 3 requires that the Department of Administration make the state's financial transactions and the annual audit available electronically for use in the public finance internet website. And then Section 4 is what this bill is creating. We're creating a new statute that will define what should be in the Alaska Online Checkbook Act. Subsection A requires the Department of Administration to develop, operate, and maintain a searchable, free-to-the-public website that provides financial information available from the central accounting system or the annual financial report. Subsections 1 through 3 detail monthly reporting requirements, which will include the unaudited revenue for the state, including receipts or deposits by state agency into a fund or account established within the state treasury, proceeds from taxes received categorized by source type, including compulsory contributions imposed by the state for the purpose of financing services, agency earnings, including amounts collected for sales or services, licenses or permits issued, or otherwise received by an agency, revenue received for the use of state money or property, including interest and lease payment, gifts, donations, and federal receipts and other revenue. The next is expenditures. The expenditures will also be required for a monthly reporting. The names, locations of any person to whom a payment was made, the amount of the expenditures disbursed, the type of transaction by account code, including the purpose of the expenditure, other information specified by the department. You'll also be required to post the estimated balances of the following accounts: the statutory budget reserve, the constitutional budget reserve, and the permanent fund earnings reserve account, as well as a total of the amount deposited into the permanent fund. Subsection 5 through 7 requires the Department of Administration to publish state revenue and expenditures summarized by general fund revenue sources categorized by function, department, and account, the total general fund income compared to expenditures, total assets compared to liabilities at the end of the fiscal year, and then for the preceding 10 fiscal years, by fiscal year following, the number of state employees by department, the number of independent contractors engaged by the state, the total long-term debt owed by the state, the total general fund expenditures, and all general fund payroll by department. AS 3705-215B describes the reporting requirements for the previous section, and then Section C requires that the website have reference materials to assist the public in understanding the financial information that's been provided on the website. Section C2 requires the website to have a feature that allows users to search for the information on the website by keyword and recipient. Section C3 requires the site to have a link to the website of the Legislative Audit Division. The site must also include electronic copies of information related to state service procurement contracts, including compensation, contract length, and information related to independent contractors engaged by the state, by agency, including compensation and contract length. Subsection D requires the Department of Revenue and other state agencies that use and ones that don't use the central accounting system to provide the necessary information to the Department of Administration to comply with this act. Section E clarifies that this bill will not require the disclosure of information that is confidential under state or federal law, and requires that aggregated information be disclosed if it can properly protect confidentiality. Section F defines expenditure, searchable internet website, and state agency. Section 5 states that the Alaska Online Checkbook shall be available to the public on or before October 1st, 2022. Section 6 adds a transitional provision. This was worked on in the State Affairs Committee that would ensure that while we are awaiting the October 1st, 2022 deadline for this act, for the checkbook to come online, the state will maintain the current Excel version that they have posted today. And then the final section requires that all the information for previous fiscal years be available by October 1st, 2023, and requires the site to be regularly updated. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 5, the definition of expenditure. At the end of each fiscal year, the state of Alaska has encumbrances that basically commit the state of Alaska to making those payments, but I don't see, which I think can be tens, if not hundreds of million dollars. I don't see that as a category, and why haven't you included encumbrances in the definition of expenditure?
Senator, through the chair, I'll have to get back to you on that. There was a few issues with the expenditure that we were already trying to address. For example, a permanent fund dividend would be included in there, and it wasn't our intent to have every single Alaskan that got paid a permanent fund dividend be put in the checkbook. So it still can work these issues out.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if we're going to get a clearer picture of the checkbook, this is not a small item. This is a very huge item. And I know that it's an accounting transaction at the end of the calendar year, but individuals won't see the actual total amount until the encumbrance is paid. So I think that it would be my suggestion that you include encumbrances in the expenditure so that individuals throughout the state of Alaska can see what dollars are committed. The other question, Mr. Chairman, if I might continue, is although I see where we will be given the information on what is actually being expended, when you look at, you're building, a school, and you write expenditures and you get a total, say you're halfway through it, of $10 million. But what has been appropriated is $20 million. So I think that also is valuable information, what has been appropriated and what the general public can anticipate the final expenditure to be, because you're not going to complete only half of that building. So if somehow the information about how much has been appropriated for that specific item and what amount of funds have been expended to date could also be helpful to the general public if you want transparency.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Senator Stedman.
I'd like to add to that, Mr. Chairman, on the accrual issue. I think it's significant when we look at our savings component, too, or also the CBR account has encumbrances. And it's nice to look at the available cash, not you have to take into account the encumbrances to get an accurate balance. So I think that's an important thing to try to for the bill sponsor to try to take a look at, so the users of the checkbook don't inadvertently draw erroneous balances, and then they may have a tendency of writing articles around the state or what have you, and just try to avoid as much misinformation as possible.
Thank you. Senator Wilikowski, I have a question for either you or your staff, Mr. Graham. If you guys, when you're doing your research on the bill, have you got a feel for or any anecdotal or analytical figures on the traffic, if you will, or the people that was accessing the checkbook in a given year for Alaska when we did have it in place, and then maybe as you were doing your research in Ohio, how many people were populating that site?
Mr. Chairman, I believe Hans Zygmunt's online. He might have a better idea of the traffic numbers to the site in Alaska.
Thank you. Mr. Zygmunt, Director of Finance. Did you hear my question?
Yes, Chairman, I did, and I will have to research the answer, and we will communicate that formally back to the committee.
Thank you. Other questions from committee members before we go to public testimony? Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess a question to the bill sponsor on asking if they would consider including the reimbursable service agreements, the RSAs that we have in our departments. I know that one department has about $17 million, but sort of unbudgeted RSAs, so just didn't know if that was a consideration or why that may have been excluded.
Thank you, Senator Wilson. Nate, are you able, prepared to answer that today, or you need to get back to the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I will have to get back to the committee on that one.
Thank you. And you've got the senator's question.
Yes.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions from the table, we will now go into the next part of the bill today, and that's public testimony. We're opening public testimony. And we're going to go first to Wasilla. Mr. Ryan McKee, Americans for Prosperity, are you online, sir?
Yeah, thank you. For the record, my name is Ryan McKee. I'm the State Director of Americans for Prosperity, Alaska, calling today to support the important and bipartisan reforms, ENSB 25, the Alaska Online Checkbook Act. SB 25 would create a free searchable website that provides Alaskans with easy access to detailed and comprehensive information on state spending. This would encourage better understanding of state operations and ultimately reduce waste and ensure that funding is directed to the state's most important needs. All 50 states operate websites that make information on state expenditures and revenue open to the public, but like Senator Wilikowski mentioned, compared to other states, Alaska's site is ranked as one of the worst in the nation, and making the data accessible. And additionally, our online checkbook website has removed all of FY20 expenses and has not been updated in nearly a year. And although the state has had an online checkbook, it didn't provide any big picture context about state expenditures versus revenue, nor is it codified in law. And, you know, the ability to see how Alaska's government uses public funding is fundamental to transparency and bolsters public confidence in government and promotes fiscal responsibility. We also believe that if the state maintained a better website, then we can save costs and time that state employees currently spend responding to freedom of information requests for public information that could and should already be accessible online. So it's our hope that both the state and the federal government champion economic opportunity-focused reforms such as this that allow Alaskans to keep more of their hard-earned paychecks and recover stronger from COVID-19. So we thank you for the time and encourage the Senate Finance Committee to pass the legislation. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we're going to go to Portia Noble in Anchorage.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Portia Noble, and I'm representing myself. First, I would like to thank the members of the committee for allowing me to testify. SB 25, the online checkbook, is a public policy action that I fully support. Last legislative session, when I first read Senator Wilikowski Hill, I thought to myself, wow, there's not many policies that the senator and I agree on, but this legislation, he's got a right idea. Far too often we find policies very polarized. With that said, I'm extremely grateful for Senator Wilikowski's approach to give Alaskans more access and transparency. Nearly every state in the nation has some kind of transparency website, including Alaska, but some are better than others. Alaskans deserve to know how exactly tax dollars are being spent. This checkbook site will be a user-friendly tool that will help Alaskans understand where public dollars are being used. More importantly, my hope is that this will help elected officials root out wasteful government spending. Increasing transparency and accountability is key to restoring trust in government and should not be a partisan issue. I'm very grateful that Senator Wilikowski addressed some of the concerns from the former commissioner of the administration regarding the number of independent contractors engaged by each agency and the total of long-term debt owed by the state agency. So I appreciate your time and attention to this important issue. And again, I'm just showing my support for SB 25. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your testimony. Seeing no further public testimony online, no one in the room wishing to testify, we're closing public testimony. We're going to take a brief at ease. Back on the record. Okay, so any other committee discussion? We've got several outstanding questions. We'll wait till those come back to the committee before we set an amendment deadline. We're going to set this bill aside. Thank you, Mr. Graham, for doing a marvelous job today, and the bill sponsor for bringing this forward. And we are going to be adjourned, but tomorrow's meeting at 9 a.m., SB 20, out-of-state teacher reciprocity, SB 71, Council on the Arts, 88, SB 88, state insurance, catastrophic reserve account, SB 10, free and reduced tuition. So with that being said, we are adjourned at 9:50.